The sermon this morning is from Luke chapter 24. I'll start the reading at verse 45. Luke chapter 24, starting with verse 45. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising him. Pray with me. Father, thank you for the blessing to come to you now. We thank you for the blessing of hearing from you. Please awaken our minds. Please awaken our hearts to understand you and to love you as you are. Please be glorified in your people. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We come to such a special part in the scripture. The disciples had been disciples for 3 years following Jesus. And as we read through the Gospels, we would find them very often confused as they are traveling along, not knowing what is going on, not knowing what Jesus is saying. And oftentimes, he had such a presence, oftentimes they were afraid to ask him what he was talking about. Like a student in the class, afraid they're going to ask a stupid question. Because sometimes he would say to them, "Are you still so slow that you do not understand these things? Have I been with you so long and you still don't get it?" Well, this beautiful moment has happened in which he has opened their minds at this point to understand the scriptures. I remember after I was saved, I could actually lay on my bed and my mind was just reeling, remembering all the stories that I had heard in Sunday school as a child. And it's rolling and it's rolling and it's rolling and it's rolling. And I thought, and that was this, and this was that, and this is that. And all the pieces started coming together. And it was amazing. And it was beautiful. I give that to you for a moment of encouragement as you are teaching or you're teaching children. And you wonder, is this going to do any good? Down the road, the Holy Spirit will awaken those things. There was a woman in the community that had lost a child and she hadn't been in our church for years. And as I was talking to her, she remembered something from our after school program, Treasure Diggers, from probably 10 years ago. And she was trying to grab a hold of it and trying to grab a hold of it. And then as she sat there, she began to sing Psalm 100 from 10 years ago, not having been in church at all since then. These pieces, these parts that you grab, these meals that you receive, even right now, some of these things you may wonder, is this going to do anything? But Christ opens our minds to receive the truth and to do great things with them. So Christ opens the minds of the disciples. He is actively renewing our minds as we are coming to him, as we are listening to him. He does this healing process where we are able to grasp truth and have a foundation that we can stand on. But this morning, what we're looking at is Jesus comes to the place where he actually raises his hands and places a blessing on the congregation. Christ places a blessing on his church. That is, Christ places a blessing on you. You and I are put into a beautiful place eternally. In my mind, I lost hope for vacations because vacations would come, and then before I knew it, we were on our way home. And I would kind of shrug and think, what was the point of any of that? It's already over. I looked forward to it for months, and now it's gone. Well, the blessing of Christ isn't that. It doesn't do that. The blessing of Christ is forever and ever. It is the Father's love on you. That's eternal. That's the blessing of that light. And I'm calling upon you this morning, wherever else you might be for joy, to take your stand in Christ's blessing. For that to be your hope, because it is forever. Our first step, number one, is trust his blessing. Verse 50, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. That's a strange thing in our culture, to bless someone. I remember when I first got saved, I started saying, God bless you, to people, sometimes as a greeting, sometimes as a goodbye. And for the rest of the people around me, that was very strange. Family members who profess faith would often say, I didn't sneeze. As if that was the only time you would ever speak a blessing on to someone or give it to someone. Well, the blessing had been commanded specifically for the priest to give. Numbers 6, 23 through 27. God said to Moses, speak to Aaron, who was the high priest, and to his sons, which would be the line of priests, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. Hear that, grace. The Lord lift up his countenance or his joy on you and give you peace. So they shall, listen to this language and the strangeness it is in our culture. So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel and then will bless them. Invoke my name on them. I hope you really get that or you're really inquisitive right now. Let's not just be passive in this moment. What is this invoke? What does it mean? They shall invoke my name. At different orders of worship, I kind of cringe at when they have all of these steps and all of these things to go through. I'm cautious about those things, that we would create these empty forms and we could just go through the motions that don't actually mean anything to us. One of the orders of some worship is an invocation. And I've often wondered, what does that mean, an invocation, as if you're ordering or commanding Christ to be present, or you're summoning him, as a medium might summon a spirit of a dead person. What is that invoke? What are we doing? Well, to invoke, it's to call on or call for assistance or protection. In the old dictionaries, it even gives the example to invoke the supreme being, to call on him for help. Another definition, to call judiciously, as to invoke depositions or evidence into a court. Something official being called and placed. God says, you are officially putting my name on the assembly. And we remember that salvation is in the name Jesus. Yahweh saves. We invoke, we are receiving a blessing. Paul runs with these ideas. He, of course, gets it as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit when he blesses the people or he greets them in the book of Romans. He calls them beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, the one who saves. Jesus, Yahweh saves. Jesus Christ, Jesus saves. A prophet, priest, king. This is on you. This is salvation to you. This is peace to you. The blessing and the promise. In 2 Samuel 14, 8 through 11, this woman comes and asks David for help. When she comes and asks David for help, someone is threatening her son, is the story she brings. David speaks to her and says, if anybody gives you trouble, bring them to me. And she says, the avenger of blood is going to come for my son. He said, I promise you, not one hair on his head will be harmed. I have spoken. The king's promise was on that woman. The protection was there. He was an earthly king. He had limitations. But Christ speaks a blessing on you that's forever. He says, you're saved. Peace to you. Grace to you. We fall back and we remember who he is and who we are. He is the king of heaven and earth. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to him. And he says, you are mine. I am king. All authority is mine. You're mine. That is his blessing. When I greet you before each worship service, you who call on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's that blessing. If you call on Christ, you are in that blessing. You are in that peace. Jesus speaks over you and gives you that peace. Now, who is Jesus that we are trusting him? Our second step is to trust your king. What is taking place here as we look at this chapter? In verse 51, while he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. Strange picture that's going on. This picture, what is taking place? This is the Father demonstrating this is the Ancient of Days. This is one like the Son of Man who comes in the clouds, who comes in glory, who has been given all power and honor and authority. This is the one who stands over this kingdom. Luke apparently had gotten more information by the time he wrote the book of Acts. And it describes there and then that he was lifted up and received into a cloud. Remember the language from Daniel chapter 7, 13 and 14. I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a Son of Man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. This dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Can we fall back to or look at when Jesus gave the Great Commission at the end of the Gospel of Matthew? And he says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We see this picture and this language and this understanding that Christ is King. He is on the throne. All power, all majesty, all dominion given to your King who speaks this blessing. You're mine. Peace to you. Grace to you. We see the disciples, as their minds have finally been opened to fully understand the scripture, responding appropriately. Our third step is worship him. Verse 52, as Jesus is lifted and he is carried away, and they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They got it. They knew who he was. They knew who they were. And each moment in our lives is us falling back to remember that. Who he is. Who we are. There's the strange language in our culture, people trying to find out who they are. We're trying to find themselves. I invite you to find yourself right here. Falling back. Remembering who he is. Who we are. Worship is given only to God himself. Christ said it in Matthew 4:10, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And this is Christ. Christ is the one we worship. Aren't we caught up and aren't we tangled up as we worship ourselves and as we worship the culture and people in the culture? Now we see a bit of the expression that continues on as their minds have been opened, as they've seen Christ as King going in the cloud in glory, and we see them worshiping him, seeing who he is and who they are, and we see the fruits of this again in verse 2. They return to Jerusalem with great joy. Our fourth step is cultivate joy because of him. We have a brother in the church who sometimes gets frustrated over his emotions. Sometimes he says, "I'm happy, but why am I happy? Should I be happy?" It's a fine question. I found myself echoing our brother's thoughts the other morning. I woke up and I was happy. And I asked myself, why am I happy? Should I be happy? Am I happy over some indulgence, some aimless distraction, some self-medication? Am I happy just in my leisure? Or am I happy for the real reason that I am loved by my Heavenly Father in Christ Jesus? I invite you to this reflection. To pursue joy, yes. But to pursue that joy that will not be taken away. Because Christ cannot be taken away from you. A true peace. A true hope. A true confidence. Psalm 16:11. "You will make known to me the way of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever." You and I are in that beautiful place, the place of hope, a place of confidence, a place of the peace that matters most. We see them then there after this has taken place. Where do they go? They go to church. They go to church. I remind you in John 4 when Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well and she's edgy with him. She's edgy with Jesus. He'll say something, she'll get a little snotty back at him and push at him is the way she responds. Then she keeps diverting the subject and moving away, introducing things that would be controversial to a Jew. Rather than being in the place where she's saying, "Teach me," she's saying, "Oh yeah, what about this? Oh yeah, what about that? Oh, you're putting this pressure on me? Let's fight about the temple then and where we should worship." As she places that on him, Jesus says, "An hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers." He keeps pulling it back to himself and to a true heart of love, to a true heart of worship. In 1 Peter 2:5, we see our new temple. "You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." That's where we are. Put together, not just on a Sunday morning and not just in a pew, but being built together, close, tight, bearing one another's burdens, spurring one another on in love and in good deeds. And we see what they were doing as they were coming together. Our sixth step is continually praise him. Verse 53, as their minds had been opened, as they had seen Christ for who he really was, as they would go to the temple, it says, and they were continually in the temple praising God. They were moping earlier when he was telling them, I'm going away. They were moping. They were focusing on their loss. They were focusing on things not being what they expected. We all do that. We all focus on our loss. We all focus on the things that we were not expecting. It's a part of our nature that we have received. When he tells them and he describes to them that he was leaving in John chapter 13, this is why then in John 14 it starts this way. It's a little unfortunate that we have that break, that we would just come to John 14 and miss John 13. So he says to them in John 13, 33, little children, I am with you. And I'll say, just a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, now also I say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. And their hearts were troubled, and they were grieved. Makes sense. You're troubled. You're grieved. Things aren't what you expected. You don't have the things you wanted. Here is Christ's answer to that trouble and grief as he starts in John 14. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Knowing who he is. And then our relationship with him. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Do you? Do you know the way? Do you know how to get to Christ? To be received by Christ. It is to call on him. All of those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. To know his perfect life. To know his perfect death. To know his resurrection. And to know the salvation that is a gift by faith. You have the blessing of Christ. If these truths are yours, we stand in it. We have hope in it. We have confidence in it. Because it's him. He is our king. We are members of his kingdom. Loved, received, blessed, protected in the gospel. Take your stand there in that blessing, in that joy, in that hope. Worship him, rejoicing in him. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the blessing that we have received in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, please help each of us. When we are tempted by our sin, or where we would run to other places for joy and fulfillment and for peace, to cause us to just stop, to be still, and to remember who you are and who we are in your Son, Jesus Christ. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.